another week of Shh, the Trekkies Are Talking. It's season one, episode six. And we're talking about a bunch of stuff this week. We are going to talk about Cybermen versus the Borg. We're going to talk about how we think that the Cybermen might be, you know, sort of an inspiration for the Borg. And we'll talk about human vulnerability. And we'll talk about transforming and emotions and a whole lot of stuff. So have a listen to the next hour. And
I think since the 1950s, we've known that sooner or later, technology would eat us. It's a question of how long it would take. It's a question of like what it would look like, what form it would take. But we've been fantasizing about this for, you know, since really since, I don't know, when was iRobot published? Yeah, check that out. I'm gonna say that's the launch point.
Do you remember? I remember because Desiree came home from high school with a story, and we had to learn about it to do the essay or whatever. It was "The Machine Stops" by E.M. Forster, and it's a novella, and it's about like some in the future times, and people live underground in these little you know, by themselves, and everything is done through like technology, and they're told that they can't go to the surface of the earth and they don't socialize and stuff. And it's discovered to be like all that they're just told this to just keep them in this life. It's more elaborate than that, but it was written in like the 20s. And it was E.M. Forster, like thinking about like what would the future be like, and what would technology be like, and how would it affect the way we communicate and society and like stuff like that, you know? And yeah, it's not a very known thing. I didn't know about it until she came home with this thing, and it's like, you know, it's like a short story. So like, you know, like longer than a short story, but like not quite a novel. And it was like, I don't know, grade 11 or something like that.
Okay, so even I wrote longer, we've been kind of wondering when it is technology.
So iRobot is actually a collection of short stories. And the first one was published in 1940.
1940, okay. So we've known for a long time.
We've been thinking about this for 100 years at least.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, if you look at the film Metropolis.
Oh, yes, exactly. Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that was probably the first.
Yeah, right, right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Dystopian society where the threat is a single robot, though, but very cleverly used.
Right.
A robot to cause a revolution.
Well, maybe this is a bit different, but what about steampunk? Isn't that sort of a little bit... it's maybe more like Victorian, but isn't that kind of like, it can be like a little bit dystopian or futuristic or like otherwise?
But there's purposely a lack of computer and AI stuff, hence the steam.
I guess there's different kinds of punk, it's more
of a mechanical-based dystopian society.
But it's still like an industrialization way to introduce machines and the dystopian, effect of technology,
but
right?
But basically it's like mechanical age, industrial age meets the Victorian age.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they are going to have a computer, it's going to be like a glorification of the differential engine.
Yeah. So this
I've actually seen the differential engine. It's quite amazing.
The differential engine, you've seen one?
Yeah. There's one in the Science Museum in London. And
the British are good for something.
Yeah. When was it built? 1840, I think, by a woman.
Oh my gosh! I know.
And yeah, it's basically a called a differential agent, but basically it can make random, equations. So basically, it's one of the first computers.
Random computer.
Yeah.
Well, so having thought about that for all these years, we're finally at the crossroads. Maybe. I mean, it's much more real now than it was, but
right.
It's interesting that you pointed out that when that was made in the 1960s, right? You know, the message was struggle is futile, and that message gets repeated. You know, like, yeah. is there a point at which the machine controls you? Is there a point at which
you no longer control
the machine?
I think we're sort of we're sort of dealing with that now in society, like in very not being told, oh, resistance is futile, because like everybody thinks that, you know, what they need to do is resist, but that's not actually resistance. And then when it comes to like actual resistance, then it's like, okay, well, no, there's no point. And I'm like, what I mean by that is like, you know, in Canada, we have this MAID thing, this medically assistance in dying. And so that to me, this just walked into my head. Like, that seems like, okay, resistance is futile, because like people have been reported to be like, okay, they went to, you know, the hospital or somewhere and, you know, seeking some kind of like healthcare thing or something. And in some cases they were offered, oh, would you like, you know, like euthanasia or whatever, you know? So I almost think that is like a very progressive, seemingly nice way of being told, oh, well, you know, resistance is futile. Like, and I wonder, like, if that, like, is almost, you know, like a really dystopian way that we're seeing that, because this is kind of possible because of technology. And so these cyber people, whatever they are, cyber controller, cyber whatever, oh, resistance is futile. And I was reading about how that line, resistance is futile, comes from the first time it was said was in Doctor Who, that it was like in the Cybermen episode, that it was like they're a thing that they said because they were trying to make everyone be like them, and they were trying to take over the world and populate the world with their own, you know, cybernessness.
Yeah, well, it seems pretty clear that the two have some connection to each other. It's hard to imagine.
I'm pretty sure that whoever came up with the board must have seen Doctor Who Cybermen.
Yeah.
The Borg is from like the 80s, and Doctor Who, and this Doctor Who thing is from like the 60s.
Yeah, but
the Cybermen
have been playing on the Leavens and stuff. So, the Leavens, but the new Doctors. And stuff. So,
and they still are. They still are like part of the show, right? Like they've been reiterated so many times.
So,
which is why sort of they're really cool. To compare them to the Borg, because the Borg keep coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, obviously they keep coming back because they're like a really great plot device, right? But I think it's like a great thing to talk about, because, you know, we think, oh, we've stamped out this form of extremism, we've stamped out this form of toxic radicalism or something, and then no, we haven't, because like, oh, you know, you think you've defeated it, and then no, there's a little pocket that is like getting ready to like revive itself again, and the Cybermen do that, and so do the Borg do that, like, you know.
Right, they're not easy to get rid of.
But maybe we're not meant to get rid of some of our opposition. Maybe like the point, like, you know, it's kind of like in Sherlock Holmes when he was supposed to die, and then Conan Doyle brought him back. So he lost his opponent, right? And then in the story, as if I recall it, his main purpose was like his opposing Moriarty, but his foe is gone now. So he sort of feels like he doesn't have like a purpose. So like, you know, we do need some kind of struggle. We do need like some kind of like friction, like, you know, in order to have a momentum in life, right? Like maybe that's part of this like going to war or going to battle or having resisting something or whatever that we're talking about this week in the other classes.
Right. Unless this is not a struggle, you know, I think one of the questions that comes up in relation to the Borg and these kind of Cybermen is whether or not this is the next stage of evolution. Like, are we resisting the inevitable because this is really where we're supposed to be going, right? We're saying, okay, so we've now created these technologies, and these technologies now have a life of their own. And so the next logical step in human evolution is for us to become technological, biological hybrids. Mm-hmm. And
that's really important because the key difference between these two is the fact of is also the fact of agency. Like the Cybermen, their history is really convoluted, and I tried watching it a bit, but the Cybermen chose to be that way. They became that way because they had to survive in very inhospitable conditions. So they wanted, they modified themselves to become that way. And they eventually, like, more and more of their human vulnerability became eclipsed by technology because they wanted to live longer and be more powerful and didn't want it. And also it was revolting to their humanity. So they had to make that decision. So that was a choice that they made, is what I heard and read. But then the Borg are not. Like, you know, their origins are mysterious, but nobody is like, oh, hey, I'm going to be a Borg today. Like, that's a very different way of becoming inducted into that group.
Yeah. But remember, we were watching that history of the Borg, I mean, the Cybermen, and they were actually slaves at one point. They were creators of slaves.
Which are you talking about now? You're talking about the apes?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, but then there are the cyber apes and then there are the Cybermen, right?
Mm-hmm. And, this is not coming from the show. This is actually coming from the comic book thing. And it's a bit like Star Wars or Star Trek comics. They sort of go on tangents that just don't make any...
Because you're talking about the thing with the two planets. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the, you know, universe, there was a solar system. And so there were like two planets like Earth. There was like Earth. And then what was the other one called? Something like that.
Yeah, it's like an upside down Earth.
And it was upside down Earth. And so then I can't remember what happened, but then the Cybermen were up, like part of Earth. And then, I don't know,
here's a question. How do you have an upside down Earth?
I don't know.
You know, space, there is no upside down.
Yeah.
Earth is in space. So,
yeah, like when I was listening to it, the story seemed a bit simplistic compared to like other things. But anyway, it's a good yarn, right?
It's like a child's yawn, which is like...
It's kind of like somebody like they watched, what's the thing with the apes? Oh, Planet of the Apes, and they watched Star Wars,
Marvel,
and they watched like everything, and they mashed a bunch of stuff together, and they put it together. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. Yes, there are two...
I'd rather stick with the origins as presented in
I don't really understand the point of the cyber apes.
Yeah,
like I don't get that.
Let's get away from that. It's ridiculous.
I feel like we're gonna skip the cyber apes completely. I think we're gonna...
let's just not do the cyber apes. Yeah.
So what we know from the actual Doctor Who series is that we have an alien planet, and it was so
inhospitable.
And they created themselves like this to survive. And that's good. I like that. Okay.
The intermediate part of that is the planet got thrown out of orbit or something by the moon or whatever. And so it started drifting into the far reaches of the universe and it became
that's from the comic book.
Sounds whack.
Because I watched a thing where everything was put together. So like now I'd have all the history.
It's like watching Space 1999. I mean, it's a great show, but you know, really, a nuclear explosion takes the moon into the far reaches of the known universe.
Why not? Now,
no.
Did you know there's the Nazis on the moon? Come on. Yeah. I bet you didn't know that.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I feel like...
I feel safe now, yeah.
Come on, you haven't seen that movie? It's a classic.
No, Nazis on the moon.
What's it called, Robert?
Iron Sky.
Yeah.
It's a B movie. It's a B movie. It's about, it's about some American astronauts that land on the moon, and they all get shot except for the black astronaut. Huh? And then he discovers that the Nazis, at the end of World War II, had created a secret base on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And they're planning, an invasion of Earth. and it's a live action sci-fi movie.
Wow.
With amazingly good special effects.
You have to have very, very weird friends to have seen that movie. I think that.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The good guys win in the end, right?
The good guys win in the end, yes. Of course they do. You know, and it pokes fun at the Nazis, you know, in a way that's, you know, it's almost comic book, you know.
Okay, we have a little Hogan's Heroes action.
Yes, yeah. I used to love Hogan's Heroes when I was a kid. Yeah. We're getting off topic, but that's okay. We can talk about what we want to. It's our own podcast, bitches. Anyway, so Cyberman.
That was too much. It was really too much.
I know. Sorry, I can't help myself.
We struggle with self-control issues here.
We do. We come here to let loose. So there.
Yeah, the Badger Jabby thinks she's in Harlem.
You better watch out. I might just untie my hair and you all both self-destruct.
That is probably what will happen.
Yeah.
So are we destined, or do you think that we are destined to become kind of cyber hybrids? I mean,
well, I think even like look at this whole stuff we're talking about now with, you know, all of this body modification stuff and this like, you know, synthetic people and stuff. I'm going to avoid the buzzwords because I don't want any trolls to cancel me, but okay. I think we all know what we're talking about. You know, there's this like, you know, technology, medical technology has made it possible that you can modify yourself and be whatever, right? And so that necessarily, you know, requires you to like shut off parts of yourself.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about an ancient technique that people who've been using for literally tens of thousands of years, which is tattooing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Body modification.
But I'm talking about something a bit more profound
but that's where it comes from. It started with pain, permanently altering our bodies.
Right.
And it was painful. I don't know if, you know, Robert doesn't have a tattoo. I don't know if Lee has a tattoo. I don't imagine that you do. It's probably against your religion. I have one because I'm silly. I have one where no one can see it. It's painful. Like, it's kind of like a silly rite of passage that you do. Like, I'm not exactly sure this was like, you know, 20 years ago when I had this weird, you know, whim to get a tattoo because I'm not sure why. Anyway, and then it's like painful. So like, and you know, this like these transformations, you know, like the cyber people needing to like, you know, make themselves like partly technological to survive the conditions. Like, I don't know, maybe climate change might necessitate that we might have to modify ourselves, and maybe we might have to shut off parts of our social brains or our self perception, you know, and like how much of that of our self perception is affected when we modify ourselves by artificial means. Like, I think there's like, you know, a real metaphor, like, for now, I don't know.
Yeah, I see people, you know, this extreme tattooing and stuff where people are like turning themselves into dragons. I saw a guy the other day who was talking about how he was going to remove parts of his body so that he could more resemble a dragon. How he knows what dragons look like in that respect, I don't know, but he apparently does. And He has, you know, implants and, you know, implants and scales and all sorts of things, you know. I mean, that on the one hand, I mean, it, how cool is it if we had the possibility of becoming whatever we want to become, right? If I want to become a reptile, how cool that I can.
But can you? Or is it just looking like one? And like, then, you know, there's the word. Yeah. That, exactly. And then there's the word affirming. And so that's really loaded term, because that you're making a bunch of assumptions when you say that a certain, you know, track of care or whatever is affirming. Because like, if you like, okay, this guy wants to be a lizard, so we're going to affirm that he's a lizard.
Right.
Okay, what does that mean? Like, is that positive? You know, we're supposed to affirm people in their decisions, is that healthy?
Well, I guess the big difference about what we're talking now, and even if we start getting cybernetic extensions or replacements for our body, is the difference between us and the Cybermen and the Borg is they don't do it out of choice.
Well, the Cybermen,
The Cybermen and the Borg,
yeah,
they inflicted on people and don't ask.
I said earlier that the Cybermen chose. But I mean, okay, I'm getting into this like overthinking thing about choice. But I mean, is it a choice when you're doing it out of necessity to survive? But they opted to do it, whereas the Borg are like forced into it. So yeah, that's maybe
in the cyborg case that they started to go insane.
And they had to shut their emotion thing off.
Yeah, they had to take the emotions.
So like, I don't know. I just think that there's like a connection to now where we have, you know, and then like maybe, you know, Mary Shelley's story, you know, with Victor Frankenstein and, you know, stuff like that. Like, I think these stories are, even though that's like science fiction and, you know, like the Cybermen is like different. But I mean, because of the way there's an origin, I think that's kind of important, because like we have this notion that we can just do that. Like that, even that fact that is a story that somebody thought up, okay, there's some humans on a planet and they can just add technological things to themselves to make them survive, and they will just keep surviving. That to me, because like I study like, you know, the nervous system, and I don't believe that there's dualism and stuff, and I'm like a big nerd about that. I just think that's ridiculous. Like, how can you just think you can replace, you know, like and be the same? And I don't know, like I just think the whole thing is just like a really, like it already assumes a view of humanity.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you book Bingo Frankenstein, because that's been viewed by scholars not as the first not as a horror book, but as the world's first science fiction book, because it's actually a creature that's created with science.
Right
So it's science fiction.
Right. It's a weird variation on the Golem stories. It's pretty clear that that Mary Shelley knew about the Golem stories, and just like this guy, this rabbi in Prague, he created this mud man, and there's a whole discussion in the Talmud about these mud men. And how to bring them to life, and what happens to bring them to life, and do they count? Can they be considered to be human beings? Are they not human beings? And you know, there are these like, and they were created for a temporary period, and they were, you know, kind of through mystical processes. But you're right that in Frankenstein, it's done through science, right? Those great scenes, the great scenes, the weird machinery and the lightning and all that stuff. Boy, just nobody does stuff like that anymore. Those were great scenes, but you know, I may end up getting a knee replacement. Maybe that's, you know, I'm not excited about that, but you know, it'll be nice. And if it had some kind of cool cybernetic stuff in it, that, you know, could, if it were like a smart knee, that would be great. Yeah, if I get a smart knee. That'd be good. I'm going to get a new heart valve, right? An artificial heart valve at some point. You know, if I could get a smart one, you know, that could like, you know, send me little messages and could talk to me like Alexa and go, good morning. Mine speaks in, my Alexa speaks in a South Indian accent. So if my, you know, my heart valve could say good morning, that'd be, really, you know, good morning.
That's funny. That's cute. Of all the like joints that you could replace, one of the places I worked on was an orthopedic surgery ward. Knee arthroplasties are like the like most like the like sorry for the using this word, but like the easiest.
Yes.
You know, the complication free. Yeah. And for some reason, men are like, you know, oh, okay, yeah, day five. Okay, can I go now? Like, do like, why am I here still? Like, I'm ready to leave now. Like, you know, yes. Like on like day one, they're like, okay, can I really take this big dressing off? I'm like, I need to like the men are just like, they're barely awake and you just have to like hold them down.
Weird.
Like, it's weird. Yeah, unless there's some like, but usually it's not. Usually it's just like, okay, you got a knee replacement, whatever.
Yeah. But I think that people, I think we've definitely changed our attitude about our bodies. I've noticed a lot more tattoos recently. And yeah, I always want to ask people about their tattoos. I want to ask, you know, which is absolutely, you know, like not polite. You know, like, why do you have the butterfly behind your ear? Why do you have 777, you know, tattooed on your wrist? Why do you have, you know, there's all sorts of little things. I looked them up on the internet later. But I feel like people, you know, are using technology and body modification to express some something in their inner self that they feel needs to be expressed. And I don't know whether what I'd say about the affirming thing. When I saw the guy with the lizard, I just wanted to say, you're, dude, you're not a lizard. Okay. You're kind of a middle-aged man. And
exactly. So like, what does affirming mean? What does affirming mean? Because then there's this is dualistic now, because affirming basically, as far as I can see, means affirming somebody's self-perception of something. So, but your perception is not reality, because your perception is sort of like based on a feeling, and feelings aren't facts. So like I might feel like a cat, but like I'm not a cat. Like, you know, so like, what does that mean to say, okay, you're affirming somebody, like you're affirming, like, yeah, one of the other places I worked in was psychiatry. And one of the things they used to tell us is don't affirm somebody's or agree with somebody's like delusion. Like don't challenge it. Like, you know what I mean? So like, what is that? Like, so what do you even mean when you say affirming? Like, I feel like that's almost like deliberately vague, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, someone tells you that you're the Messiah. They're the you know, there's a famous story about this that, historically back in the 1600s, there was a guy from Izmir, Turkey named Shabtai Tzvi. And he thought he was the Messiah. So he went to Gaza, actually. He went to Gaza. There was a famous mystic in Gaza, Natan al-Ghazi. And he went to see this mystic. And he said, listen, there's something really wrong with me. I know it. You know, I'm having these fantasies that I'm the Messiah. And, you know, it's really making me nervous. And, you know, could you please cure me of this obsession with being the Messiah? And the guy, Natan al-Ghazi, says, well, the problem is that you are the Messiah, right? that you really are. And he affirms his identity as a Messiah. And that begins this huge thing where half of the Jewish world accepts him as the false Messiah. They think he's, you know, they think he's going to Constantinople to defeat the Sultan. He gets captured and converts to Islam, and eventually, you know, eventually the movement dies out. But you know, half of the people, Jewish people in the world, believe that he was the Messiah. You know, so the point of that story was
affirming.
Affirming can be very powerful. You know, if somebody tells you that your feeling about yourself is true, it can be very powerful. So if I tell you you are a cat, you may start behaving more and more like a cat, and that's, you know, you'll discover.
And so, words carry weight. But, yeah. You know, so that's like one thing about, you know, transforming yourself. But I think in the case of like the Cybermen, see, a good segue there, that they are aware of the fact that they are modifying themselves, and that they are like, they seem to have like embraced, you know, they seem to have like gone through this evolution where they have embraced the fact that human vulnerability is not a desirable trait. So like, they're not trying to convince anybody that there's something else. They just are like becoming something else.
Right. Well, the Borg are also, I mean, the Borg keep saying, you know, we're just going to, you know, we're going to assimilate you. And there is kind of the promise that, look, you're going to see this is really great. You know, you're going to see this is really much better to be like this.
Like, what is that? Like, okay, so. And then this thing with the Cybermen, eventually they morph into that, where they need to make everyone else like that. So now my question is, like, Cybermen don't have emotions because they have had to slowly, like, you know, disengage their emotion, whatever, circuitry in order to be able to live like they do.
Right.
So if they don't have any emotions, then why do they have this drive to make everybody be like they are, and why are they so bent and insistent on dominating everyone? Because, like, if you don't have any emotions, like, wouldn't you not care? I don't know, maybe I'm like thinking about this wrong, but
altruism. How about a rational altruism that maybe they just think that the world would be better if it's not because of generosity, it's not because of some sort of emotion. But because of a simple desire to improve their world.
Well, and so this is assuming that everyone is like I'm like, okay, my modifications and my differentness is great, so everyone has to become like me. Like, you're sort of, this is like assuming that, right?
Well, yeah, but isn't that always the dilemma? I mean, every movement has the same dilemma, right? It starts out, you know, that everybody is, you know, okay, we're all hip, right? And so we're going to dress like hipsters, right? And then hipsters becomes a uniform, right? And you got to have a certain kind of hipster beard. You got to have their hipster shirt. You got to have the hipster, like, man bun. You know, you have to have all the hipster, you know, accoutrements. I was a hipster way before there were hipsters, let's say.
I gathered that.
Yeah. Way before there was anything like that, I was like way in front of the curve. But it starts out as this innovation, and soon it becomes, you know, regimented, you know,
becomes oppressive, right. it becomes like an imposition that everyone has to do, you know,
just like everything else.
Then it's not like liberating or being your, you know, being your true self or being your, what I do when I have a cold and like, I don't even care. I'm not releasing this video. So whatever. I just like stick Kleenex in my,
I am so not sticking Kleenex up my nose in front of you. I know you want to see that. I just, please.
I'm just saying, if there ever comes a time when I have one of my massive, mega, fabulous, like, explosive everything colds, I don't give a shit. I'm sticking Kleenex up my nose, and you both can cope. Okay.
I was there the day before yesterday. I was already there. I was tripping on the faucet, and I was like, okay, this is just stupid, right? Just Yes. I can say more about that, but it looked pretty special. But doesn't everybody really want everybody to be like them? I mean, the Federation also wants everybody to be like them. Let's just be honest, right? They want everybody to be just like them,
I
right?
just
Oh,
want
we're all,
everybody to be
you
like
know,
themselves.
people.
Like, I just want everyone to be like themselves because, like, I am just living in this country where, like, everyone has to be this certain way. And if you disagree or if you say a thing, it's like, oh my God, you're a not like, and I hate this Goodwin's Law, but literally people are like this. It's like, you're a Nazi. You're like a, you know, well, whatever. You're like a Trump or something. It's like, people are just so silly. Everyone has to be the same. So I just deliberately hate that now, you know, like this whole like uniformity thing and this like Cybermen and this Borg thing, you know, resistance is futile. And they say that. And because they know that you're going to resist, because everybody does, but it's almost like they just do it because they know that it's demoralizing. You know, the whole
Because it's
resistance is
inevitable.
futilizing, but it's, and they know that it's not futile. Look at, like, we were all old enough to see how resistance like changed some shit in a big like way. Like,
Did it really? Did
the
it really?
well.
Did it really? I mean, I'm no, I mean, I honestly, I mean, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I hit the tail end of the, I was born 1960, so I hit the tail end of all that, you know.
Born in
And
68 and he was born in 64. We've seen like the Berlin Wall fall and you
okay,
know
so
communism
it's all
fall and
there,
stuff like
and
that.
you know, yes, so
Yeah.
like on the one
Like
hand you
what
see this change, and then the other
look at
it's like, oh my God,
like
I'm
I'm
like we're
back
back at the same place over and
over
over
and over
again.
again.
And
Exactly. But it's possible, we have seen that it's possible to resist and make the powerful run.
unless you're
Right?
new,
We've
yeah.
seen that. I mean, you know, they did the like, you know, when the Berlin Wall was falling, and that is not because Ronald Reagan said anything or any American said anything. It was just because people just had enough.
No,
Right?
that's true.
You know,
That's
there, I
true.
think there's just a natural evolution, and maybe we've just, when you live long enough, you see it a few times. So now it feels like we're at the point where we need to do that again or something.
Right. Where the natural evolution is that we all become, we all become exactly the same. We all
Yeah.
become, I mean, I suspect that I would love to interview, Kim Jong-un or something and talk about
Talk about
like,
like.
and does he think that he's creating sort of the next level human being? Does he
Yeah,
think
like
that?
what is going through a person's mind like that?
I don't know. I mean,
Like
he's about
what?
as close to the Borg, as you can get in a human being.
You know,
Everybody has
everybody
to wear
has
the
to wear
same
the same
haircut
haircut.
and,
But their society is so, like, I've
I've
seen a
seen
few
a few
things, you
things
know,
of
of people who
people
have been brave
brave
enough and
enough
daring
there
enough to,
enough to
like,
like
you know, take
take
some
some
footage and
footage and
stuff.
stuff.
And
And
there's like
there's
a
like a
real
real
disconnect
disconnect
of, like,
of like
what
what
is
is
happening in
happening
the part
the
that
part
they
that they
don't
don't really
see
see
and, like,
and
you
you
know,
know
stuff
stuff
like
like
that,
that,
right?
right?
So,
So my personal favorite
weird.
would be what's the supermarket
Supermarket
that
that
had
had
no
no
food in it?
food in it.
It was just
Just
pictures of
pictures of
food.
food.
Oh,
You could
wow.
just sort
You
of look
sort of
in
look
and you
in
have all these pictures of food. It was pretty
That's
interesting.
crazy.
Can
I
like
That
human
reminds me of like I saw a I don't know what city this was in. I think it was somewhere in Canada. There was a Save-On Foods or something. Then the thing was called Save-On Foods, and there was like she was, I don't know if this was real. I'm, you know, could be just bullshit. But she was like, oh, there's all the produce on the things, the shelves where there's hardly anything, food or whatever. And maybe it was like they were just getting a shipment the next day or whatever. But I don't know. It reminds me of that. People are trying to be, you know,
to
convey this
make
thing
this
that there's
shipment.
like, you know, there's some stores where there's like Spartan things on the shelves and stuff like that. I mean, maybe that is the case. Maybe there's some supply management issues, but.
There's we, here too. We've been having we have things like that too. That's normal. That's ever
But there
since.
you, yeah, but there you can just fill all the shelves with Twinkie bars and things will be
That's
fine.
true. Exactly. Which
Yeah.
is what they did
Do
during
you
the
think,
pandemic. It was
do you, what
crazy.
do this, what do Cybermen and Borg eat? Do you think they eat food?
No, they just charge.
They just consume they just consume energy.
Yeah, but I don't know how that works exactly, because biology, like, I mean, it's doing biological
function. Parts. So what happens to that unless the biological waste gets used for some technological purpose or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. I mean, yeah, everybody poops. I've read it in the book.
Oh, absolutely. If you don't poop, you are super big trouble, buddy.
Yeah, so
are super big trouble. There's a reason why that nurse is coming around asking you if you farted, and not because she's got no fart and fetish. She can't test your stats of, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's really important. So,
do the Borg fart?
That's a very important question. And what indeed the question.
I mean, do Cybermen fart?
I'm going to guess yes. I can't imagine.
Considering the difference between Cybermen and Borg is Cybermen are basically a brain inside a robot.
Oh.
So I would say the answer is no. They do not fart.
Oh, they do not fart. But yeah,
the Borg, on the other hand.
The Borg, on the other hand, have bodies, but they're not eating. And eating, and I feel like gas is a product of
at least we don't. We've never seen them eat.
Right. I don't think they digest anything.
Yeah. But the thing is, when they hop up into that machine, who knows what's, because we know in that day and age, you can actually transport things. So maybe they're getting
So what is our fascination with these
transported into them?
What is our fascination with this? Like, what is our fascination with this? Like, putting ourselves in these stories where we fight technology that's trying to control us. Is this like a story that we just play over and over again that we've had since, like, we lived in the cave and we were trying to, like, run each other's. Like, because I'm sure when we lived in caves, we were probably doing that. We were raiding each other's caves and, like, trying to decorate them, in our own way and trying to, like, steal each other's shit in that, right?
Right.
And what is that thing?
Let's face it, when we lived in caves, there were monsters outside that threatened our very existence.
Yeah, there were giant sloths and giant mammoths and
emu birds and
saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah.
Wolves with gigantic teeth.
Yeah. So. And in fact, it's hard to say human race, but our predecessors, we almost got wiped out a couple of times.
So, maybe we're just scared little, we're scared little primates.
That's where our anxiety comes from, anyone who has anxiety, that's what's getting triggered.
So we just play out our neuroses in our dramatic fairy tales or science fiction stories. So, like, this is why our fascination with the Cybermen and with the Borg, like, and these races that are we make these foes, we make them so that they're so formidable and insurmountable, obstacles that we can't overcome. It's like, we just have this, like, real, like, to me, I don't know, when I think about it like that, it really, like, it tells me about our, like, psyche as human beings, about what we're afraid of and what we are.
And then we have the hero come along, who's the Picard or the Doctor.
Who saves the day.
And
it's interesting because very often the saving the day is because we are human, because we are distinct. We're human, Jim. that line, kept coming up in Star Trek. This, and that somehow the humanity, with all of its frailty and all of its weaknesses and its diversity, somehow beats out the technological monsters. We have the secret weapon. The secret weapon is our individuality. The secret weapon.
Well, then it makes me think of the Dross, the story of the Dross, and how, like, if you see life that way, that everything can be, even if it's like seems like it's consuming you, like, even if it seems like it's setting you on fire, it's not consuming you, it's making you better. And, like, that you know, struggle against something and whatever. It makes me think about that. I don't know.
We can better ourselves with the struggle against.
Like you can be in the fire that consumes you and reduces you to ashes, or you can be in the fire that like separates out your impurities, and it depends how you go, right?
Well, facing our future, you know, I mean, I feel like that's also part of it. It's like, are we able to face our future? Are we able to say, look, you know, we are maybe are not the end of humanity. Maybe humanity will become something else. You know, is that something we can deal with? I mean, I think that that's part of the Borg thing, is the Borg definitely see themselves as being kind of an advanced being and something which, you know, as being the next level. And, are we ready to deal with the next level? Are we?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Indigo Children? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody, the Indigo Children and, you know, the stuff. I mean, you know, I don't think it actually panned out as anything real.
And they tried to make Asperger's like that. You know, they tried to make Aspergian people, like, you know, Aspergian autism. They tried to sort of make that as like, oh, well, Asperger's my superpower, and you know, whatever. Like, just try to, like, you know, make it so really? That, like, these people are LOL. Yeah, Greta, whatever, weirdo Greta. Sorry, I don't like her. She's a bit insolent. The little Greta girl who was the environmentalist. One time they had her on the thing and she was like, oh, being Asperger's is my superpower and whatever. And like, I appreciate what she was saying, but like at the same time, it does come off as seeming a bit like that, a bit like, oh, you know, like the next level of evolution of human
right.
beings, and
right.
like, you know, casting it as like, oh, you know, the superior intellectual or social, somehow emotional, you know, they're set up there and they're right. like
right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, maybe there's an argument there. Maybe neurodiversity, maybe there is something there, you know. Maybe
but it's like I feel like that's kind of like almost like a very like sketchy way to like portray a difference, because right. it can lead to some really weird place.
Wait, we can start with eugenics. I mean, we could end yeah. up, you know, we could end up, you know, people breeding, you know, people trying to breed in. You say, oh, okay, this is the next level. So we're going to try to, you know, Asperger's to Asperger's. We're going to start, you know, breeding Asperger's people. And I mean, there's all sorts of weird things.
Yeah.
Eugenics, like, shows that we can do all sorts of weird things.
Which is why I just think that we shouldn't this focusing on transforming and this kind of focusing on these characteristics like that, like, you know, doing the Cybermen thing where, oh, if I modify this part of myself, I can improve, you know, I can like improve like the thing, as though like you're like some computer system where like Robert, if he wants to fix a part of, because he's like a genius, he will just open the box and he will like, you know, take the card out and he will put in a new card and shit. And like, yeah, he could like just buy all the components and put everything together and build you a computer, right? But like, we aren't that way. Like, we, like you are saying with, you know, like with the Frankenstein and stuff, like there is like a special, you know, way to making life that we don't have that power, because it's not just scientific power. It's like beyond our, you know, capabilities to have that.
But if we could bottle Robert and we could put him into a small pill and people would just swallow the small Robert pill.
And then become like me for like,
and become just like
an hour.
Robert doesn't want me to brag about him, but he's actually really good, and he hates it when I say this, because I don't know if he likes doing this, but I think he does. He just doesn't want to admit it. He's really good at teaching people about how to use technology. Like, he's really, really, he's really good at like teaching, like really like you know, how people are like, I don't know how to use my email, or like, you know, there's people that are really, and he's like super genius. He can read computer languages and a bunch of stuff like that, right? But he also is really good at showing people how to do things.
You must
like,
be
that's pretty, like not a skill. Like I suck at that. I don't have the patience to show you how to
it off and on again.
Yes.
Like I don't have the patience for that, but he does. Yeah. Like my gifts are in other ways, right? I don't mind that, but he's really good at that. Like any, but whatever.
Yeah.
So he can build you a Cyberman.
Off and on is yes. So we could that could happen, but.
So we've, and I think this is something that now with what's happening, you know, like the UK is dealing with their issue, like with this medical scandal thing. And there's countries in the Europe that are dealing with that. And so North America's happening. But I think that what this is showing us is that, like, we don't really have a really great understanding of ourselves as human beings. We think that we are like this brain. And because we were like, oh, yeah, what's in my brain and what's in my body? And the two don't connect or something like that. It's right. Like, okay, well, did you not get the memo that there's like a bunch of networking that connects your brain to the rest of your body? And that's how come you're able to like function and move and stuff?
I'm sorry, but I've been hoping that I'd turn into one of those glowing brain orbs. Now you're telling me there has to be like a glowing heart orb or glowing gut orb, or it's like could be three orbs that would be connected to each other. That's not. I don't like that. I just want a brain.
Moving parts, buddy.
I think the Spock's brain episode of Star Trek.
Okay, this reminds me. Is this in the comic or is this in the thing? Doctor Who went to the planet where the cyber humans were, and they were rebuilding themselves or something, and they scanned him and they realized that he was a Time Lord and he had like an extra lobe in his brain, and so they used that to build themselves. Is this like in the comic or is this like a real part of the show? And so he is part, Doctor Who is actually part of making the Cybermen bad people. Which is weird because then he has to defeat them. So,
but they are
made in his image because he's super smart and they used his smartness to.
Mashallah. Okay. No.
Is this like some kind of like science fiction, like conflict of some kind or whatever?
I don't know. I feel like my brain is going to explode. But it makes sense, right?
That's right.
I mean, we're built into the machines, right? I mean, you talk about this. I was thinking about this. You know, the assisted suicide thing. And I can just imagine a day when there are, you know, actuarial algorithms that decide whether or not you should be given assisted suicide, right? And you just
kind of chilling. Yeah.
This is the chance of the person surviving, whatever else. And this is the cost to society if we don't.
Like you're talking about like a machine AI doing triage.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be not very far, based on
like you said, actuarial data and not like clinical thinking that we have learned about, you know, right. That has a bunch of different components to it that are psychosocial and
right. And they'll say we just put all the information into the, and so in that case that the machine that we've created, you know, that it we are built into it in a way. Right, we are built into it. Right, our brains are incorporated.
Because if it's creation that like we seeded it and it grew from what we told it, right?
Right.
So right. Yeah, that's a good point that we never even think of. Like we like it is made in our image.
Yes, it is exactly.
Like we are made in God's image, so like it's our image that's problematic.
That's right. And we were made in God's image, and what did we do the first time we got an opportunity? We rebelled.
Oh. Exactly.
Mm.
And so we're afraid that our creation is going to do the very same thing to us.
Exactly.
They're going to rebel against us.
Exactly. And like, it's funny because that's how we see, even if people are atheists or people don't believe in that myth, you're very right that that seems to almost be something that's innate into our way of thinking, that we think of that. We have that relationship with technology because that seems to be like our origin story of human beings.
Right. It's
Like, you
interesting.
know, isn't that's very fascinating that you should bring that up, that that's really what's at the core of this, is like the fear that it will, that they, our creation will do exactly what we did.
Right. They will rebel against us. And the only way, the only reason why we could might be able to defeat it is because it's made in our image. Right. I mean, we know something about, I mean, that's what happens with the Borg, right? I mean, when they realize there's, they know something about the Borg that the Borg don't know about themselves. And that is, they have built into them some sense of individuality, right? Because Q comes and they see that their individuality is an idea that they can get. And then they say, okay, we're just going to introduce this into the, we're going to introduce this into the hive. Of course, they decide not to do it, but they end up doing it anyway,
But see,
right?
and in the Cybermen, when they want to destroy them, what they do is they try to engage the emotion thing, because that they go crazy when they have, you know, become self-aware, right? So
Right.
like, yeah, it is almost like this powerful thing is can be brought down by something really simple, like vulnerability,
Can we
like
activate the
human
Achilles heel?
vulnerability.
Right. There's always an Achilles heel,
But
right? There's
see, what's
always.
really funny is human
Human
vulnerability
vulnerability
seems, in our
is our
view, to be
view
our
weaker
like
like
weakness
this.
and our point of destruction. But
Destruction,
for the
but
thing that we
being that we
create, the human
read
vulnerability
spiritual
is all
debate is all
like also the
also the
thing,
pain,
right?
right?
But for
Right.
us, our human
Us and even
vulnerability is
numbers
actually our
sometimes they are
superpower, but we
superpower, but we
see it
see it
as a
as
menace
menace.
Right.
that we need
And that's
to
what these stories
suppress.
kind of reveal. Again and
Again and
again, is that
again,
the
is that the
Zorsh really
source
our
really our
superpower?
superpower?
That we think
Think
this is
this
our
is our
weakness, but
weakness, but
really it's
really
our
it's our
superpower.
superpower.
Now,
Now,
whether
whether
that's really
that's
true
really
or not,
true
I'm
or
not
not,
sure,
George,
honestly.
honestly.
But
But
I think that
that's
that's the
the
story
story
we're
we're
trying
trying
to
to
tell
tell
ourselves
ourselves
again and
Yeah.
again.
I think so. I think
I
that's
think
like a
that's like
good
a good
place to
place to
end,
condition
too, that like
end.
vulnerability isn't necessarily like weakness. And it's funny, I was just having this conversation with somebody on Twitter who's a Catholic, this guy who's a poet, who was canceled by the woke movement for some dumb thing, and now he just writes poetry, and he like, you know, he's published, self-published and stuff, and he goes to church and he has cat and whatever. And he was like saying something like that, you know, mercy wouldn't make sense without, like, you know, strength has a value, otherwise mercy wouldn't make sense, or something like that. And then I was like, okay, well, I think mercy is a kind of strength.
Yes, for
Like,
sure.
I think that, you know, knowing that you can be powerfully smite somebody or whatever, and have the restraint to not do that. Well, I think that's really like power. You know, I think that's really powerful. Like, that's like really like the human condition can be something that's really strong, that can be used in our, you know, to our advantage. Like, we don't always need like an enhancement or a, you know, something, you know, a bling or like a shiny thing. Like, sometimes we can be the thing.
Indeed. Indeed.
So
Okay, guys,
you
beautiful.
need to go and inhale some Vicks in a pot or
I
something.
do have it's a pot.
What is the trick, Robert? Take some Vicks and some boiling water or something, and put
Yeah,
your put
yeah.
a towel over your head.
No, well, what we used to do when I was a kid, boiling water, put the Vicks into the boiling water, and then put your head over and put a towel over. And then let the vapor steam.
There's a great
Awesome.
podcast on Vicks Vapor Rub. I think it was called the American Dream or something like that. But it has a whole thing about the Vicks Vapor Rub worldwide. It's very important. It's in the Latin American world, Vicks VapoRub, as
It's
it's referred to,
everything,
is
dude.
everything. It is everything is used for everything.
Vicks VapoRub and chicken soup, dude. That's what you need, and
Yeah,
sleep.
that's all a person needs. Okay,
So
have a good night, guys.
take
All right.
care.
Okay.
Okay.